We are the members of the church, the church of the Lord. We are the church of Jesus Christ, the church of the gospel. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish the God who sent for us today as the church. We are the church of the Christian, of our Christian. We are the church of our church, and we ask that we would trust to do the work on the cross. We are committed to the way we are committed of our sins. We are vital, trusted, faithful God to heal us through the physical throughout the distribution of God. That's the one that makes the Jesus Christ. We are the children of God, the children of the people, coming together on our God, to help us out, and all of these people, that the pastor is the Lord.
great difference between having a relationship and having fellowship. Can we say that together? There's a difference between having a relationship and having fellowship. Let me give you a scripture. The Apostle John, right, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen, he's writing about himself. That was me, I was one another, so other apostles, what we have seen and heard, we propose to you also, so that you can be in fellowship with us. And indeed, close fellowship together is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's think about that. All of us have things in common with others. That's very interesting. That means we can look at what it means that we are all one race. But students may be different shades of brown, some of our features may be different, but we're all in the image of God, by God, in this image, we are created from all of you, we are 100% human. We share human life. So we share common ethnicity. We all live in greater and greater metropolis. We're moving to him, and it says Jesus is our Savior. He has come to have a relationship with him, and he becomes part of the family of God. It says we are related to somebody that looks like we're related to a human, our human family. But the same Christians are confused by having only a relationship with Jesus and the God of Jesus Christ that I experienced. Well, we say fellowship because somehow we say fellowship is about us, it's not about them. We say this relationship is a success focus, not fellowship is God's focus. And the fact that God is writing about that he can pay for is not about him, but it's about what God does in us and through us as we yield our lives and therefore be to him. And we are what? We are thinking after. toward what we see as benefiting us. God didn't establish a contract with Israel or the church. He created covenant, old covenant, new covenant, God's covenant with his people. And the difference between a contract and a covenant is huge. Contracts are broken when one of the parties fails to keep his or her promise. But in a covenant, one member's failure doesn't cancel the covenant. A covenant doesn't put conditions on faithfulness. It's an unconditional commitment to love and to serve. That's what makes marriage work. Marriage doesn't work as a contract. It's selfish. I'm here as long as you meet my expectations. Marriage only works as a covenant. Two people covenanting to hang in there with each other. Timothy and Kathy Keller writing in The Meaning of Marriage, quote, "When the Bible speaks of love, it measures it primarily not by how much you want to receive, but how much you are willing to give of yourself to someone. How much are you willing to lose for the sake of this person? How much of your freedom are you willing to forsake? How much of your precious time, emotions, and resources are you willing to invest in this person?" The biblical understanding of love does not preclude deep emotion, but neither does the Bible pit romantic love against the essence of love. Here it is, the essence of love, which is sacrificial commitment to the good of the other. Marriage isn't about marrying the perfect person. If you're unsure about that, ask your spouse. But two people committed in a covenant relationship of marriage who will hang in there with each other even through the worst of what that may mean, sometimes with only one hanging on and the other dangling precariously, hanging in there together before God, God supplying the much needed, much prayed for patience and grace and mercy and love and understanding and all known, including the ability to forgive if we've been forgiven. Within that covenant of marriage, God will use our spouses to transform us and to conform these imperfect people. God working in and through the rough stuff and the chewing on of the character and all of what that may mean. God working to conform to imperfect people closer to the image of Christ to be for the world. But in the manner of a servant, washes the feet of his disciples. He is the unthinkable, the rabbi, the master teacher, serving his feet. And Jesus said to them, "I give you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you." But it's an example of how Jesus lived, what he taught. The greatest among you is the servant. No greater love has anyone than this, that they lay down the life for his servant. And when you are my friend, that's heaven. That's heaven. Not that Paul challenges us with those of us that are in Christ. He challenges us to imitate together. In Philippians, he says, have this mind among yourself. Now notice the flow of that. Have this mindset amongst yourself. This is the covenant. This is the fellowship which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form, he lived in the form of God, did not count equality with God as any grasp. He didn't hold on to that. It's mine. This is about me. He really had nothing. Taking on the form of his son. And the end result of that, what happened? He didn't have that. To live that way is a group effort. But the covenant that we make with each other to hang in with each other. This is what makes our fellowship so valuable for each other. Because God uses the covenant of fellowship to form and conform imperfect people like us. These years of the Son Jesus Christ. God is in the church, fellowship is a family. Can we say that together? Fellowship is a family. It's who we are in Christ, right? We are the family of God. Extraordinary. You know, think about it. Being adopted isn't the choice of a child. Right? If you're an orphan, you don't adopt a parent. A parent adopts us. Right? We're adopted, let's say, by the Smith family. Okay? This is one part of the Smith family. And we share meals together, we go on vacations together, we work around the house together, we wash dishes, dusting, vacuuming, gardening. We share a living space together, maybe we share a bedroom with another Smith sibling. We do calls of role at school, we walk about the other Smiths with our other Smith siblings too. And we do all the hard stuff of life together. And we do all that, not because we decided to pretend to be a Smith of the day, but because the Smith parents went to the orphanage and chose us to be a Smith. And on that day, we became the child of the Smith parents and the siblings of our fellow Smith siblings. So for us, we're not just talking about being a Smith or what it means to be a Christian. Yeah? Christ, in Christ, we are them. And Paul writes, he writes that God, he destined us. God determined it. God worked all this out, and personally worked this out for us, for adopting a son through Jesus Christ, according to his purpose and his will. We're adopted because God willed it. An adopted family relationship that God calls us into, which is a fellowship. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, God is faithful, by whom you were called. God called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this isn't random. We are God's gift to each other. That's an interesting thought. You are God's gift to the other people sitting in this room. They are God's gift to you. Yeah, God isn't just bringing together some generally unlike people to be some kind of dysfunctional group that never really deals with real issues, that's kind of loosely held together by a set of bylaws, and that we may or may not somehow resemble becoming like who our Father is, God. Now, fellowship is about God, who intentionally calls us together into this covenant fellowship so that we can live out together what it means to be his family together for his purposes and for his glory. And while we may choose carefully following the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be bound together by our choice to commit to what God is doing here, more so, we are bound together by the person and the work of Jesus Christ, God binding us together, adopting us together for his purposes and for his glory. And so point being, bound together in the covenant of fellowship is what it means to be in Christ. Fellowship is family. Going one step further with that truth. That's the truth that's not optional for us. It would be so easy to say something like, well, now I'm just not feeling it. You know, I'm just not feeling like I'm part of the family today. And when you're talking, you use a number of metaphors for the truth, right? A family and a fellowship, a body and a bride, people and a temple, a lady and a children. It was all point to what it means to be a Christian existing within the fellowship of the church. Quoting Mark Dever, when a person becomes a Christian, he doesn't just join a local church because he's a good habit for growing in spiritual maturity. He joins a local church because he's the expression of what Christ has made him, a member of the body of Christ. Being united to Christ means being united to every Christian. Quoting Alistair Begg, going one step further here, the entire New Testament is about being in Christ, and being in Christ, being in the church. You can't be in Christ without being in church. And if someone says, I am in Christ and not in church, then either you are not in Christ, or they don't understand what it means to be in Christ. Just simply, being family is who we are. And being who we are means fellowship. That means being consistently together in fellowship so that God can use us in each other's lives. And that's not random, and that's not up to us to pick and choose when and how we're part of the fellowship. It means being consistently committed to being who God has created us to be in Christ, being together, pressing into each other, and building each other up, and hanging on to each other, essentially showing up to be with each other because God has what it means to be together. Devotion to fellowship is devotion to each other. We belong to each other. And in this world, we are a unique community of people who have come to share together the common source of life, the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The common life, the fellowship that this being described here, is the life of what we share in Jesus Christ, the fellowship of those who know Jesus personally, who have given their lives to Him as their Savior and Lord. The fellowship isn't focused on us. It focuses on God. Fellowship is a celebration of God's grace and a renewing of our relationship together in Jesus Christ. A joyful coming together to experience God at the bottom of Christ. The process and all that. Very briefly, to give you an obverse in this book, What is a Healthy Christian? I believe many of us have read it. So these are good, you get 8 real-time expressions of what being devoted to fellowship can look like. There's a free copy of the book on the way out. If you want to grab it as you're heading out there, you can fight over it on the way out. You know, Jesus loves you, family, fellowship, sort of way. Do what you want. But anyway, without going through all 8, but briefly, here's at least the top 5 of these, right? Just take a snapshot. What can this look like? Thinking about this in real time, maybe dodging some thinking here, right? Number 1, it means to be neat, but people just to be regularly. We got to be here. We got to be present. We got to be active. We got to be known. We got to be here. Right? And number 2, it means edifying others. The one consistent goal of meeting together as a church is mutual edification, building each other up in the faith. Like Jesus, we need to come to serve, not to be served. Number 3, it means bearing each other, being patient, being long-suffering, holding up in the way of disappointments and frustrations and loss and attack and slander and offense. You know, if you're in a family, families don't always, they're not perfect. You need to be served. Sorry, folks. We've got to carry each other's burdens. And that means meekness on our part. Don't think of more of ourselves than the attitude. Number 4, it means pursuing reconciliation. So sometimes things happen, right? Things get sad, you've got to work quickly. You've got to work lovingly. You've got to be continually working to repair the breach in our fellowship. Even maybe before we come to worship. Yeah. Number 5, it means warning and admonishing others. Some of you guys speak the truth and love your Christian siblings in love, because they know we love them. And then they speak to each other in love, right? You gotta help each other to avoid pitfalls. You gotta rejoice with each other when you do. You gotta encourage each other to holiness consistent to comfort and energy. Let's try it again. Father, I confess that sometimes I don't always see the people in the room as just me. And I'm sure they don't always see me as good to them. Thank you, Father, for the fellowship that we have. Thank you, it's not about us. It's not about how we see it. But it's about what you want to do in our lives, in the spirit of each other, to your glory. And what do we need in an offering to the connection of it? And what do we need? Thank you, Father, for the open. The people must have felt the being created. God, thank you for doing that. This is giving us the opportunity of being part of this family. You guys help us. It's so interesting to do this because we're very trusted people, but it's nice to do this without me. So, Father, would you please help us to do this fellowship? Help us to do this fellowship. God, help us guide us to take a little deeper. And our love for you, and our commitment to you, and our willingness to talk about and do the hard things together, and challenge each other to greater faith and commitment to you. Help us, God, to rejoice together, to be excited together, maybe to meet together, but we rejoice together. To form us and to form us to the use of your Son Jesus Christ. Clearly, the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Thank you.